What's up? This is Movies on Up. You see what it wants you to see. And I always see my co-host, Mr. Ryan, which is exactly what I want to see.
You may be seeing just a couple minutes into the future.
We are Movies on Up.
The tagline
for
this week.
I'm out of it. I'm scary not prepared for this. You see what it wants you to see. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, you will get a Movies on Up prize package that is not mirrored from somebody else's Movies on Up prize package.
Nope, totally unique.
It will be completely different. Keeping into our October theme, our favorites from every year that this podcast has existed. Last year we did 2012, 2013. If you haven't listened, go back and check that out. This week, 2014. I like all these years. Going through, it's like, at first it was like, can we do five? I like all the movies on all of these lists, so it's really cool.
I like 2014 a lot better than I like 2013.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't have any years that I like really dislike. But like,
I think this one's real top heavy, but
see,
I still
like
this
2015,
year.
The movies on there, I really, really, really like. 2016, I love. And then 2017, there's some really good. So it's like, I'm really excited. I'm glad we're doing this. At first, it was just like one of those ideas where it's like, it's not a good idea, but it'll get the ball rolling and we'll think
for
of something.
For a better idea that
yeah,
never came.
But I'm happy because I'm having fun doing these. So Ryan, your number five favorite horror movie from the year of our devil, 2014.
Mike Flanagan is a really good horror writer-director that we are not done with this month. He directed my number five. It is Oculus, starring Karen Gillan, Brenton Thwaites, and Katie Sackhoff. Oculus is one of those movies that I watched on a lark. This would have been a MoviePass movie had I had MoviePass.
R.I.P.
Yeah, exactly. Back in 2014. Oh, there's a horror movie out? Yeah, all right, fine. I'll just go see it. And I did. I think I went to see it like after work one day by myself with maybe two other people in the theater. And I ended up liking it a lot more than I thought I would. The cast is great. Gillian and Thwaites is the adult version of the Russell kids, and Sackhoff and Rory Cochrane as the parents do a great job. Essentially, this is a movie about maybe all the characters going insane, maybe they don't, which, in the hands of some actors that are just going to completely go off the rails, it's easy to tell that they're nuts. But in this movie, the whole point of it is you don't really know if they're crazy or not. They have to act crazy in some times, but there also has to be a believability and a plausibility behind what they're doing. And I think they pull that off wonderfully. They don't ever tip their hands to where you're like, oh, very clearly, this is a crazy person. None of these events are happening. You kind of believe that maybe there's some shit there with the mirror. And that's what I like so much about this movie was, I guess on the one hand, it could be very predictable, but it was a studio horror movie that came out, I think did better than people expected. And a lot of that, I think, is because of Flanagan and the cast.
This was one of my also-rans. It's just about a mirror that makes you see what it wants you to see. But
I've heard that before.
Karen Gillan, I love. She's why I watched it, I'll be honest. Like, I'm a big fan of her. And this is in that small window when the world was trying to make Brenton Thwaites happen, where he was in like a ton of movies in a short span. Luckily, we got over that pretty quick, and he got sent to DC streaming purgatory. He's solid in this movie. This is when he was still like believable that like, oh, maybe this kid can be something. She's good. Mike Flanagan, he'll come up in a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
He's one of those, not at the level of Juan, but he's established himself in the genre. He's found a home at Netflix now, like he's doing stuff there pretty much. But it was
I'm gonna go on a limb and say we like Flanagan more than we like Juan, but because Flanagan makes movies for us and Juan is a more
I think so.
Everybody else likes,
yeah,
James Wan.
Juan's in the studio system, and yes, that's he's found that formula and he's kicking it out. Flanagan's willing to take a little bit more risks. It's not going to say it's all hits from him. Juan knows his wheelhouse and he stays in it. Flanagan hasn't really established a wheelhouse and he takes chances in whatever he does. So, but yeah, I didn't have it on my list. So.
Yeah.
My number five, though, if there's one thing about me, you know I love foreign movies.
There's a foreign movie at your number one. I just don't think you really consider some of these other countries foreign.
True. Subtitled
movies. Yeah,
like
fair
enough. If there's one thing about me, you know I love subtitled movies. And we had a really good one from 2014, directed by Anna Lily Amirpour, starring Sheila Vand. It is A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. Iranian movie, which we don't talk about a lot.
Iranian movie with a female director.
Yeah, and a female lead. We don't get a lot of those. It's hard not to compare it to Let the Right One In. It's a very well-crafted, very well-made, amazingly acted vampire movie that's not The Lost Boys, that's not your traditional vampire movie. So it's really, really good. And Armor Purr is, you're going to hear her, from her a lot more soon. Like, she's building a career. I believe this was nominated for the foreign Oscar. It might have won. I don't remember. I'm not the best at following that one. But it's a really, really good movie with a really, really good lead performance. And like I said, if you like Let the Right One In, this is in that vein. Just watch it. It's a beautiful film. And it's, I mean, that's maybe not the word you think of when you think of horror movies, but it is a beautiful film. It's beautifully made, acted. Everything about it is just a very, very, very well-made movie.
It is my number four. Vampire movies are interesting. You mentioned The Lost Boys. That kind of deals with this idea of Peter Pan syndrome, like being young forever and acting like you're that way. I had mentioned, shit, I don't even know what movie we were talking about. But I said I was going to bring up later when monster movies are used to kind of talk about other issues that people are facing, but it's hard to personify them unless you can make it a monster. This particular vampire movie was about a vampire and more about just struggles to understand or even how to carry on human relationships. It's been so long since the main character was human that she thinks she can approximate human behavior. Like, oh, I'm going to do something nice for this person. But in a very vampire way, which you do kind of see at the end of Let the Right One In. That's a story about two kids trying to...
I love that scene so much. God damn it, I love that scene.
Two kids trying to have as normal of a relationship as they can possibly have, given their circumstances. Monsters have always been kind of allegories of what we're afraid of, and Amber Poor didn't necessarily set out to make a vampire movie. She wanted to make a movie about a girl feeling, it's in the title, alone. She doesn't have anyone around her that knows what it's like or knows what she's going through. So it's just about feeling and being much different and trying to relate to the rest of the world with the way that you are.
Which are a lot of the same themes in Let the Right One In, where, yeah, you know, in that one, it's like, I don't want to be alone, so I need to let somebody in, and finding that right person. It's a fantastic movie. Much better than my number four, because my number four, we don't have to question whether it was nominated for an Oscar or not. In 2012, I mentioned, like, if you give a dumb premise and give it enough to it.
Like sharks in a supermarket.
Yes, it comes out very good. Like, I think of Black Sheep. Black Sheep from years ago. That was a New Zealand, maybe? It was from somewhere.
I thought you meant the Tommy
not,
Boy
not
follow-up.
The
Tommy,
but the one with the zombie sheep.
Yes.
Like, that was one where it's like, oh, zombie sheep sounds like a dumb movie. There was enough there to make it something. This one did the same thing, directed by Jordan Rubin. You have beavers that become zombies in 2014's Zombievers.
This is why I feel like we'd be much higher on Tally's list.
Yes, it is one of my 6-year-old daughters. She's 7 now. It's one of my 7-year-old daughter's favorite movies. She talks about Zombievers regularly. She loves this movie. It's silly. You go into it knowing it's a movie about zombie beavers. It doesn't shy away from that fact, but there's enough there to keep it from being a sci-fi movie. And I hate to...
A sci-fi channel movie.
Sci-fi channel movie. Yeah, that's what I mean. The same thing about Bait, where, like, yeah, it wasn't a sci-fi channel movie. It was better than that. And I guess when you're making a movie about zombie beavers, maybe that's the highest praise you can go for, is that it's better than a sci-fi.
It's better than what you think.
Yeah. And that's this.
It's better than the premise deserves, perhaps.
It's a fun time. And it leads up to a sequel for zombies. It was good enough that it's like, hell yeah, they want to make zombie bees? I would watch that. And it's just silly, it's goofy, it's stupid. If you want just to shut your brain off for a little bit and watch zombie beavers attack people, this is the movie for you.
It may be the only movie yeah, for you, but this is it. My number three is a pretty solid tonal shift. It is not funny, and the premise is, I don't even really know how to describe it. Except for, it's creepy. It's Patrick Bryce's Creep, starring Patrick Bryce and Mark Duplass. You may not be particularly scared of vampire movies or even zombie beaver movies, because those don't exist, But Crazy Folks, on the other hand, that is another story altogether. And like I said, as the name would suggest, Creep is creepy. At one point, they were going to call this movie Peach Fuzz, but they didn't want you to have to spend the whole movie trying to figure out why it's called Peach Fuzz. So they just named it Creep. And after you see the first scene of Duplass in the bathtub right at the top of the movie, you get why this movie's called Creep. That is a scene that will stick with you. The problem I have with Creep is that Duplass really only plays the character one way, and that is creepy. We always see him as a bit off, or you don't even give it a thought that Bryce's Aaron is overreacting at all. We always side with him. We always think Duplass is messed up. There's just never that moment of doubt in your mind. And it's weird to see the doubt in his mind. I just don't see what he's seeing that would put him on that park bench. It is a one-trick performance, but it is a very good trick Duplass is doing.
Yes and no. It's also my number three. What you're saying is not wrong. It is very one tone from Duplass. But for an actor like Duplass, I think it's different because that's not what you expect from him. He has this OG shucks charm and this likability to him to where he's just the kind of guy you want to like. So for him to be that creepy, I see where that doubt comes from because it's like, is he just a weird guy? Like, he's harmless, right? And I think that's the word I'm looking for. It's like, he's harmless. Like, he's just a weird dude. So I think that's where the doubt comes from is like, yeah, he's not normal. He's not the kind of guy you're going to invite to family dinner, but he's not going to hurt you, is he? I get where it's coming from. Maybe it's just because I have such a high opinion of Mark Duplass and I can't picture him hurting anybody, but it worked for me. And I feel like if you put somebody like Steve Buscemi or even like Elijah Wood in that role, where
Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, they're going to kill somebody. Yeah. Like they're crazy. There's a serial killer. But with Mark Duplass, I think there's enough there to give that doubt.
My number two, I guess there's a creep factor to it. Not initially, I guess, but it is from a director that we've already mentioned this month already. It's Adam Wingert directing Dan Stevens, Maika Monroe, and Brendan Moore in The Guest. And from the face that Dave is making, I said, I can't believe he's going to leave these two movies off his list.
Because I didn't. Yeah, go on. I'll
That's
get
all right.
To it.
Somehow, this is how this shit works. You forget that The Guest, which doesn't seem like it was 2014, it was. We've mentioned that like the rom-com Set It Up from this year feels like it hit Netflix right from the 1990s. Like it was filmed and released in 1990. Just sat on a shelf somewhere.
I love that movie so much.
The Guest feels very much like it was filmed in the 80s, complete with a badass synthwave score and sat in some big, fat, big box VHS tape. When Netflix bought their headquarters, they found this videotape there, a lot like VHS, and they're like, oh, shit, I wonder what this is. Turns out it's an amazing Dan Stevens
adorable.
Movie.
She's adorable. And yeah. I was still on Set It Up, which
fair enough.
Now my number two and number one.
Dan Stevens has gone on to do some very big things. He had already done Downton Abbey. He's pretty famous for doing that. But I think at least in America, this dude, he's a goddamn movie star. He was in Beauty and the Beast. He was the Beast. He was fine in that. He did a great job in it. But this is where I really saw it. He's instantly compelling here, and he has to be. For the first story, he's like this big surrogate big brother to Brendan Meyer's Luke. Maybe a little overbearing, a little intense. Maybe he takes things a little further than he ought to, but it seems like his heart's kind of in the right place. But in order for the movie to not stray immediately into predictability, Stevens has to seem likable and normal to a certain extent before things really go off the rails later. And while he's trying to be normal and fit in as best as he's able, but the warning signs are there of this guy just trying to assimilate into a family that he doesn't have. And then when it does go into the kind of movie that it becomes, he's phenomenal at that too. There's still a little bit of charisma behind this complete nut job, but it's amazing. In order for a character to have an arc, you can argue he's the same guy at the beginning and the end, but he's trying at the beginning. He kind of drops the act at the end, but there has to be room for the actor to kind of ratchet up the performance as the movie goes along, and Stevens does that. Yeah. You can't start at 11 and go anywhere from there. He manages this movie fantastically. Maika Monroe is We've said it about various actresses, and a lot gets mentioned about her. If her career ends up only being in horror movies, she can be fantastic, because every time she shows up in a horror movie, phenomenal.
And even like non-horror movies, she was in that one where her and her boyfriend wake up, and I forget the name of it. She's great in that. She was just in that Gary Oldman robot movie from Netflix that wasn't good, but she was great. I think why this one skipped my mind, because I don't go to it as horror. I'm not going to argue that it's a horror movie, because, yeah, I could see why it's a horror movie. And I guess technically it is.
It's a horror in the same vein, like Stepfather is a horror movie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because it doesn't really turn into a horror movie until like the last 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
It just skipped my mind. But I do love this movie. Had I thought of it, it definitely would have been on here. We did an episode on The Guest at some point.
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
Might have been for Halloween one year.
Yeah. My number two is one that every October I try to think, how can I sneak this episode in? Because I can't find any other time that we would do an episode from Gerard Johnstone's Housebound. This is one of those horror movies to where, okay, girl goes on house arrest, feels like something haunting her house. That's the premise. There's so much more to it than that, though. It takes that premise. It does a fantastic job of balancing horror and goofiness and quirkiness and just straight up dread, and has a heart through all of that. It's a fantastic movie that starts off thinking you're watching one movie, goes to where you're actually watching another movie, and it's just a fun ride. That's a common thread in all these years that we're talking about, is when you sit down, do you get the movie that you're expecting, or do you just get a fun ride? And that's what Housebound is from 2014. I love this movie. Morgana O'Reilly is great. It's got some good jumps in it. It's just a really, really unique, good movie. I believe it's still streaming. This is another one. I forget what other movie I said to do it for, but if you just want to throw on a horror movie that you, oh, Cabin in the Woods, that you don't know what it is and you just want to go for a ride, throw on Housebound, because it's a hell of a good time. It's a very well-made, good movie, because it does mix so many elements and emotions into it and pulls them all off. Like, it's goofier than you would expect, but it's really, really fun and really, really good.
That one's from New Zealand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not going to go far to get to our number one. And it's a movie we talk about an awful lot. I feel like we've been talking about it since 2014 or shortly thereafter.
It was high on our list that year.
It's been high on basically any list it's appeared on, because it's fucking fantastic.
I mean, I believe it was in our top 10 last year of our
of all
time.
Time.
Yeah. Think it made both of our top 10s.
Yeah. So it should be no surprise that in the year it came out, it would probably be the number one. It's Jennifer Kent's The Babadook, starring Essie Davis and Noah Wiseman. I sort of forgot that we did our top 50 of all time. Now that you mention it, it's like, oh yeah, of course we did. That's a thing we would do. Because I now remember actually putting that list together, and I had some kind of formula. I kid you not when I say this is one of the best horror movies of the last 25 years. And if it's in our top 10 of all time, it's probably one of the top 10 horror movies of all time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you can go beyond 25 years and still not hyperbole.
Yeah, I guess we made a stronger statement last year when we put it that high on our list, but at the time, I didn't remember doing it. It is an absolutely incredible performance from Essie Davis, and along with Wiseman, they carry the water for a really terrifying movie. The scares in The Babadook, I don't think necessarily come from anything that you necessarily see on camera. Yeah. I think it's more watching the terror from the actors, and that is an incredibly difficult thing to pull off. That is what scares the shit out of people. And this is a horror movie, and there are some, you know, like The Bay or Mama. Rewatchability doesn't necessarily make the movie better. But this movie, I think you have to watch it a couple times. You're going to pick up so much that next viewing that's really going to add to it. And it's good enough that watch it a couple times, because you're never going to be wasting your time.
And it's one of those that when it takes the turn and you realize what's going on, I don't think it sinks in that first time. I don't think you realize or it makes sense. Like, it's like, oh, that's not what I... But then you rewatch it, it's like, oh, it's been building up to this. And it is one of those. It's incredibly rewatchable. I love this movie. Jennifer Kent has a movie coming out this year that it's her follow-up to it.
The Nightingale?
I cannot wait for it. I don't know when we'll get it over here, but it's going to be great. This is one of those movies that I'll liken it to, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. It's a beautiful movie. It's emotional, It's wonderfully shot. It's amazingly acted. It's beautifully written. It's a beautiful movie. And for this year to have two of those movies that I can describe as beautiful for a horror movie, but I don't shy away from it. It's a wonderful movie. Yes, it's one of the best horror movies in the last 25, 40, 50 years. It's one of the best movies of the last 5 or 10, probably. I think from a quality standpoint, from everything involved in making a movie, it's one of the better, I would say probably 25 movies of the last 10 years or so. That might come off more as hyperbole, but I truly believe it.
Of what we've seen, I mean, I don't know that there's a movie that we talk about. Maybe there are movies that we talk about as much as The Babadook. This is never going to appear on an actor list. We're not, at least at this point, going to do an Essie Davis top five or whatever. Jennifer Kent doesn't.
Five times.
Yeah, it doesn't have enough. And the cast isn't so big to where, like, oh, it's going to appear on this actor's list, this director's list, this genre list. I mean, this is a movie that just because we like it so much. When I realized that this came out this year, I was like, okay, well, I know my number one, yeah. And everything's just
and
a matter
Dave's
of
number one.
Yeah, building backwards from there. But yeah, this is a fantastic movie. We talk about it a lot, and I don't believe that we're overhyping it.
And I mean, for our 6-year anniversary, I framed you a picture of the Babadook.
Yeah,
the minion dressed as a Babadook.
Yeah, a friend came over one day to watch a Browns game, and he looked in my kitchen where the thing hangs, and he was looking at it for a while, and he goes, you know, I thought that was the Babadook for a second. I was like, oh, it is. It's the Banana Dook.
It's the minion. Yeah. The Babadook. For a movie to deal with the fear of parenting and the fear of something's wrong with my kid, to loss, to depression, to isolation, like, it's an extremely relevant movie now because it deals with all those emotions that people with a heart feel now. Not to get political, but the hellhole of a world where it's hard to not feel isolated and alone. Like, this movie tackles that, and it's so well done.
And it's using a monster to personify literally human feelings.
A quote-unquote monster, yeah.
Right,
because, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that's... Did you have any also-rans this year? You don't do also-rans. I had Oculus, which you mentioned.
Yeah, it's made my list.
And The Quiet Ones. Quiet Ones was one of those, like, We Are What We Are, where it's one of those, like, just... smaller that you either see it or you don't. You either find it or you don't. It made enough of an impression to make the list. Later this week, we'll be back with 2015's Goosebumps, which may make my list next year or next week
where
for we
do the
next year.
Year
yeah. For the year 2015.
Weird how that worked out.
Yeah. So Goosebumps 2 comes out this week. So later this week, we'll be talking about Goosebumps. But until then,
keep it up.